This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Eric Chiafalo with an edition of Football's Finest.
You know, one of the team building cheat codes, the position of tight end. If you nail it and you got one of these super beasts, there's just not that many of them. You reset the market, you're still not even paying the guy $20 million per year. That's how you get it done right there. That's what the Cardinals were doing, at least. $43 million guaranteed, $19 million average, 4 years, $76 million for Cardinals tight end Trey McBride. Highest paid tight end in NFL history. Highest paid tight end in NFL history, not even $20 million a year. That's one of those, man.
And that's genius.
If you can land it.
Yeah. Are you getting the whole package? And are you getting, you know, 1,300 yards? What did he put up? What are you getting for this 20 mil? Because it's a great team building advantage. You got to go $40 million for a dominant wide receiver, but half as much for the tight end who's going to be more physical, can maybe help you in the run game more.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big team building inefficiency there.
100%. Now, he's not a touchdown guy for whatever reason. He has touchdown dry spells. He's only got six for his career, but he did have over 100 catches for almost 1,200 yards last year, a little over 10 yards per catch. The year before, he was just shy of 1,000 yards. So he's been coming into his own, but he's certainly one of the better pass-catching tight ends in the league. I don't know what the deal is with the lack of touchdowns. I'm not sure what the reasoning is behind that with the Cardinals offense, or if it's something that's a McBride problem. But I mean, yeah, he's absolutely up there. Like fantasy players know Trey McBride because there's just not that many consistent tight ends.
Yeah.
And so when you get one, it is such an advantage. And then when you factor in, okay, you have one of the best ones in the league, you're still not going to have to pay him all that much, even if you're resetting the market. Like you said, these wide receivers, they're getting $40 million a year now.
Yeah.
The numbers have skyrocketed. And I think a lot of that is because there are so many of them. So you constantly have new guys resetting the market because there's so many awesome ones. But tight end's not the case. So it can't reset at a rapid rate like some other positions.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's kind of what Belichick was into. I think you look at like tight ends and slot wide receivers. You know, these guys can dominate the game and you're saving literally tens of millions of dollars off your salary cap. So I think it's definitely a thing to consider. Now, finding the first round tight end who actually goes and becomes a super beast is tough. These guys are unicorns.
Yes. Yes. Brock Bowers, obviously one of those guys.
LaPorta.
He was a second round pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a real crapshoot when it comes to drafting. Mm-hmm. A lot of times these guys don't come from, hey, they were one of the top prospects, first round pick
Kelsey.
Dudes. Yeah, you end up just finding guys, second, third, fourth round Kittle, well, you know, mid round picks.
Pitts was the one guy that was drafted super high. Now, the guy at the Raiders is legit.
Oh, Bowers is.
Bowers was legit.
He really is the unicorn.
Yeah.
And I'm still just imagining Chip Kelly, Brock Bowers, and Genty.
Yeah.
That could be dynamic there with the Raiders. Geno Smith getting an extension today as well with the Raiders. Now, Todd McShay just saw this. He says, I'm hearing a lot of noise about Tet McMillan.
Uh-oh.
Going to Dallas at 12.
Come on.
Hello.
Yes.
That's what Cowboys fans want to hear, man.
That's the dream scenario.
I think that's the dream scenario. A lot of people had Genty, but it's becoming more unrealistic that he's even going to be available at 12. Tet McMillan seems to, I mean, plenty of mocks where he's falling past the Cowboys. But Todd McShay saying he's hearing a lot of noise about Tet going to Dallas at 12, I think that would... Most people would sign off on that and feel great about it, right, Broadus?
No, I think so. Yeah, I think a combination of something with a receiver, Ben McMillan, and then maybe your best back being there at 44. that could kind of be the situation. Maybe there's going to be a corner or a defensive tackle there at 44 that would maybe deter you from doing that. But I wouldn't go. I mean, I feel good enough about the running backs fourth, fifth round. But man, I think the sweet spot for this group, and I know I'm excited about McMillan, but if I can grab one of these running backs before the end of the third round, I would be super happy about that.
So Bruce Feldman in The Athletic did a mock draft.
He did.
And he had quotes from college coaches about each player.
This is a fascinating mock draft, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, it really is. Because the college coaches will explain, like, we couldn't stop this guy.
Right.
You know, they're given, like, honest, like, not on the record. Well, they're not using their names, so they're saying all kinds of really interesting things about these players.
Yeah, good and bad.
Yeah.
But when they talk about Tet McMillan, you have a Big 12 secondary coach calling him a baller, saying on film that he saw some laziness when he wasn't getting the ball, but he has the best skills he's seen in years. He's unbelievable. I don't worry about his speed. He'll be able to make those catches on third and six when you really need it with a corner right on him. Another Big 12 defensive coordinator said, I think he has competitive speed and competitive vertical ability. Those 50-50 balls are more like 90-10 with him. I know Walchuk has said that plenty.
Yeah.
And then another Big 12 defensive coordinator says, the thing with Tet McMillan, he doesn't come off the field.
Yeah.
He says, you watch the film and you think this kid is lazy. He's like, I think he was just trying to get a breather. He has as good of hands as you will ever see. He catches everything away from the body, up in the air. He has such good body control, not a blazer. He says, but I think he does a good job of finding a way to separate. He says, I can't compare him hands-wise to anyone.
Yeah, you know, to me, it looks like Dez Bryant with his ability to box you out and go up and get the ball. You know, different athletes, obviously. But, you know, to me, that gives him such a high floor because even if he's not the explosive, like, game breaker, you're still going to be able to use him as an easy possession receiver.
And in this mock draft, he actually fell all the way to Seattle at 18. So he was there for the Cowboys at 12.
Where did in that mock draft, did Golden go before him or
No, Golden went after him at pick 20.
Okay.
So the Cowboys could have chosen.
He was the first receiver off the board?
Yeah, I guess outside of Travis Hunter.
Or Hunter.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you read me what they said about Golden, please? Did anybody say anything about Golden?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Absolutely. So the Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden ran the 4.29 or whatever, 40.
4.29, right.
He says he's got... this is an SEC defensive coach.
There you go.
Saying he's got crazy burst and sudden movements to get past DBs. Says he's smart. Says, I didn't think he was as fast as he was in Indy, but if that's what he ran, that's what he is.
Yeah.
He is a very good route runner. They did a good job with him to get one-on-ones. So that was the scouting report
that
from
was
an
the scouting
SEC
report.
Defensive
okay.
coach.
Okay. Does he sound a little bit better than McMillan?
No, the McMillan.
Just the way the coaches described him, or were you liking what the Big 12 coaches were saying about McMillan?
Yeah, I think what was said about McMillan was more impressive than what was just said
about
Golden.
Yeah,
but I mean that guy said he was a good route runner. I know Bobby has lamented the fact that he doesn't think Matthew Golden's a great route runner.
I think Bobby's right.
Bobby's right.
Yeah.
Well, in this mock, the Cowboys get Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina.
Oh,
so
at 12?
Yeah, at 12.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe people are still
doing
that.
I thought you said they got the... that's Todd.
No.
Oh, that was
McShay. Todd McShay.
Oh.
Todd McShay is hearing noise that the Cowboys want McMillan at 12. This mock draft, I just wanted to read what the coaches said about
him. Where did McMillan go? Where did he go?
He went all the way to 18.
Oh, he went past Dallas.
Yeah, he went to Seattle.
What did they say about Hampton then, please?
Okay, what they said about Omarion Hampton.
Running back, North Carolina.
Yes. Says he's the complete package, strong, physical, looks like a linebacker, but can break away and take it the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Says we put tape together before we played them about the amount of tackles he broke. Nobody could tackle him. Backs like that usually can't outrun you to the perimeter, but he could, and his hands are really good. I think he can be a 25-carry-a-game workhorse, and there's a lot of different offenses I think he'll fit into. So that was what an ACC defensive coach said about Omarion Hampton.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. I mean, I could see the Cowboys taking Genty at 12.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot imagine that they would go running back at 12. Mm-hmm. But based on your stack, Broadus, do you feel like there's going to be more defensive players that grade out more appropriately?
Well, there's a lot of confusion about these offensive linemen. So you know what I'm saying? Mm. If you're there's more questions about the offensive players than there are the defensive players. There's a little bit more of a sure, like, okay, if I take this guy in the second, I know what I'm getting. But these offensive linemen have made this thing really kind of crazy in that way, because you have guys that you're not sure about tackle, or there's some tackles that need to play guard. Are there enough centers in this draft to go around for people? I mean, those are the questions. I think the tight end room's good. I think the receiver room is good. The quarterback seems very, very – it's very top-heavy there, you know, with Sanders, you know, and Ward and Dart. And I think everything else is kind of – there's more questions about offensive guys than there are defensive guys, if that answers your question.
Now, we have DeMarvion Overshown, who we're all crossing our fingers with the rehab off the knee injury two years in a row. Now he's an absolute monster at the linebacker position. Cowboys desperately need him to be back as quickly as possible. He was on Good Morning Football, and he says, the future's looking good. Let me tell you that. Just how I came off of last year, I'm 100% positive. I have my sights set high. Not only do I want to be nominated for the Comeback Player of the Year, but I'm going to be the Comeback Player of the Year. He says he's that confident. He says you're not going to see any drop-off when he sets foot on the field once again. So Overshown is painting the picture like, I mean, these athletes are all extremely confident, but he's a guy who's rehabbed, come back, and still been a beast. That would be, if he's Comeback Player of the Year type production next season, especially if he's able to step in earlier than later, that would be huge for the Cowboys defense.
And what was his injury again?
He had the ACL,
he tore everything.
This
right?
one, yeah, I think this one was even more devastating amount.
He tore everything in that knee.
Just totally blew up his knee. Yeah, so yeah. I believe he can do it at his age. He knows coming back from this, but one more, and I think you go into a range where it's unlikely, you know, that you can come back at 100%. But as long as you're under 26 or 27 and you're sitting at two catastrophic leg injuries, I'm going to bet on you. Once we go to 3 and over 28, it's pretty much like you're 80 or 90% of what you were.
Yeah. I'm not setting the bar that high for what next season could look like for DeMarvion Overshown, but he clearly is, and we've seen him dancing around and stuff this off season.
He works really hard.
Yeah, this is a guy who actually rehabs and takes it seriously.
Yeah, he sure.
So he's got a chance. I certainly expect him back before Trayvon Diggs, but man, Comeback Player of the Year would be special for Overshown. He also tweeted out a few hours ago, tomorrow around noon, and he put a 24-hour countdown clock. I think. From what I understand, he's teasing the idea that he's going to have a jersey number change, and he's going to get the
zero?
Agent Zero number that he wore at Texas. That's what I've been gleaning just from a tea leaf standpoint. He's been teasing this for like a week now or so.
That would be appropriate.
Get back to number zero, Agent Zero. He repped it in college. He looked incredible with it, and I think the only reason why he doesn't have it is because of the rowdy factor, which. Come on.
I think you got to mix it up a little bit. It just seems like so far his Cowboys career has been a little bit snake bitten.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, just number. Shake things up a little bit. New jersey number. And
I think he looks
new,
good.
New clean bill of health. You like the 13?
I do like the 13.
No, he does. I mean, he's one of those guys that aesthetically I think could get away with just about any number because he's just that physically impressive. Number zero, that's his home right
he would
there.
He would look good in, like, I know it's Parsons, but I think he'd look good in the 11 for how tall he is and the stretch of the numbers, you know, the one and the one.
Yeah, he'd wear that well.
He would look good in 11.
We do have some, and that, part of the reason, too, I'm saying that is because this is the jersey number season. Switch time.
Yeah.
You had Marshawn Lattimore with the Commanders going from 23 to 2, the college number. Got the Detroit Lions, a couple of their guys. Jahmyr Gibbs, he's been number 26, I believe.
Yes.
Running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to number zero. That's become a number that I couldn't tell you. I guess he just thinks it looks better. I don't know.
On a back?
They're on a back. I think DeAndre Swift may have gone with the zero with the Bears. But, yeah, the zero number is one that is quite a commodity these days. So Jahmyr Gibbs is changing to number zero. Jameson Williams, their wide receiver, going back to the number one that he wore at Alabama.
That was expensive. You know,
to switch.
Yeah.
You have to buy jerseys out, kind of a thing.
Didn't
Smith do that? The linebacker?
Jalen Smith had to spend $100,000.
Jalen Smith is one of the few individuals who was willing to eat that amount of money to switch the number. I think what it is if you give them enough notice, like Jahmyr Gibbs or Overshown, they probably forewarned the league of like, hey, after next season or whatever, I'm going to make that switch. But if you do it like in just a one-off season type deal and they weren't prepared for it, they've been making all these jersey numbers that are now going to change, then you have to buy it out. So my guess is all the guys that are switching jersey numbers probably got ahead of this last year with the league of saying like, hey, in a year I'm switching so they can get their production in order.
Slow it down for you so you don't have to buy them all out. Yeah, that can be spendy, but I mean, a number can be important to people.
The Jalen Smith stuff is one of the worst business decisions in sports history.
He was just months from being released, wasn't he?
I think he only got to wear the 54 for maybe like half a season or something.
It was not long.
Who saved us from that mess? Was that Dan Quinn who came in and was like, what are we doing here?
I think it was. Dan Quinn was like, I'd rather play with no linebackers.
The guy came on the corner.
I'd rather move safeties to linebackers.
These guys.
Got to run. There it is. An edition of Football's Finest is in the books. We go commercial free to the top. The Expressway, a GD version of LA Live is coming up for you once again at 5:40. LA will be back next week, but we'll return with everything breaking across the world of sports here on a Thirsty Thursday in the G-Bag Nation.